there and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us this hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Welcome to the U2 America TV network, or if you're listening to us on Biz Talk Radio. Trending in the news in Houston, a huge fire at a petrochemical storage facility could burn for two more days. It is described as a massive facility just east of Houston. Fire started over the weekend and now has spread to an eighth tank full of gasoline byproducts, 15 tanks in all. They're trying to stop it from spreading even further. Firefighters are using foam in that defensive mode to try to stop that. But they do say the fire will have to burn itself out. Residents in the town of Deer Peak, where this actually is near Houston, were ordered to shelter in place for a time. But that order is now lifted. But this plume in the air, this huge black plume, people in Houston and beyond are very concerned about that as it continues to rise. Deadly flooding in the Midwest, historic flooding there people are dealing with. It has been, again, deadly. Three people have lost their lives, thousands more forced from their homes. And now news that the rising Missouri River is causing even more evacuations as floodwaters head downstream. So very bad in Nebraska, around Omaha, Iowa, hard hit. Rescues from rooftops have been going on, and just a little bit about those who have passed away. An elderly woman whom authorities were trying to get to rescue and just could not get there in time. Then one man was under a bridge that collapsed. He was trying to help other stranded drivers, and he was killed. People tweeting about all that and also using social media to try to figure out what roads are usable to get out or just get around in. The National Weather Service says conditions will continue into midweek. And then also a warning about using generators, one of the leading causes of post-flood deaths due to carbon monoxide poisoning. So careful using the generators inside, and please know what you're doing. Five MS-13 gang members have been arrested in the murder of a 16-year-old, and they were accused of stabbing him like 100 times and setting his body on fire. The boy's body, mutilated body, found in Stafford County, Virginia, near a wooded area. Investigators now believed the gang turned on him and that he was a fellow member. All happened about a week ago during a gang meeting in Maryland, in Prince George's County. Maryland is just getting to be a thriving MS-13 harbor. So we're going to talk about this in a few more of the political headlines of the day with Senator Ted Harvey. He's head of the Committee to Defend the President, former state senator from Colorado. Beto O'Rourke raising a bunch of money, getting into the race. Also, we've got Kristen Sunana Walker coming up with us. She's with the Mental Health News Radio Network. We're going to talk about a few things, including the big college cheating scandal, the college admissions scandal, what it says about modern over parenting. Has helicopter parenting led to, well, we've got to help you get into the college of your choice and we'll pay for it? So we'll look at all these things coming up, and we're going to be back and a little bit more of what they were talking about with this cheating scandal as we head in to break.
We're here today to announce charges in the largest college admissions scam ever prosecuted by the Department of Justice. We've charged 50 people nationwide with participating in a conspiracy that involved, first, cheating on college entrance exams, meaning the SAT and the ACT, and second, securing admission to elite colleges by bribing coaches at those schools to accept certain students under false pretenses. In return for bribes, these coaches agreed to pretend that certain applicants were recruited competitive athletes, when in fact the applicants were not. As the coaches knew, the students' athletic credentials had been fabricated. Overall, today we have charged three people who organized these scams, two SAT or ACT exam administrators, one exam proctor, one college administrator, nine coaches at elite schools, and 33 parents who paid enormous sums to guarantee their children's admission to certain schools through the use of bribes and fake academic and athletic credentials. A central defendant in the scheme, William Singer, will plead guilty today to charges of racketeering conspiracy, money laundering conspiracy.
In the pain, the tattoo inside my brain, and maybe you know it's obvious.
Welcome back to America Trends. Political news. People are really, here's what's been trending. People are peeved at Fox News because they apparently took Judge Jeanine Pirro off the air because she said something about Muslims or that congresswoman, and people are up in arms saying what's going on at Fox. And then right on the heels of that comes news that they've hired, Fox News has hired Donna Brazile to be one of their many, many contributors. People on Twitter noting, not only did she spike a debate before she conspired with Debbie to throw the primary so as to dump Bernie. Oh, we remember that. So Donna in prison is more of an appropriate position. So there's stuff like that. Okay, another Democratic contender for the presidency, wants to be president. Robert O'Rourke, raises over $6 million in a day. So people are talking about that because that's more than Bernie did. The MS-13 murder of one of their own that we talked about a few moments ago. And then, you know, all these Democrats say, you know, there's no problem at the border. But we've got news that this Mexican drug cartel has been using an Indian reservation to smuggle fentanyl into the USA. Lot of deadly fentanyl. We are so blessed to have our friend of the show, Senator Ted Harvey of Colorado, in to talk with us about some of these things. He is with the Committee to Defend the President, Super PAC, bent on, you know, helping President Trump be defended. Started out as an anti-Hillary PAC, didn't it, Senator?
It did. And the American people were gracious enough to help us make sure that Hillary Clinton never stepped foot in the White House again. So when that happened, we turned the PAC into the Committee to Defend the President.
So much winning, Ted. So much winning. President Trump said we would get bored with winning. Not yet, but perhaps.
Yep.
So the whole Donna Brazile thing, I mean, she's been on Fox a few times doing little things, but now she's a named contributor. And should she be?
No, I don't think she should be. When she is known to have lied about what was going on with the primaries, and then when she actually gave the questions to the moderators before the Hillary and Trump campaign debate. And I think that it's outrageous that Fox is doing this. She shouldn't be hired by anybody in politics. But having said that, I think it's important for us to remember that when she did become chair of the DNC, she realized after going through all of the books and making sure where all the money was going, that she wrote a memo and wrote a book afterwards stating that the Clinton campaign had taken over the DNC under Wasserman Schultz leadership, and prior to the primary being over with, the Democrat primary, that is. And so all of the money that was being raised through the DNC, that was being raised by the Clinton campaign, all of it was going to help Hillary Clinton get elected as opposed to staying neutral in the primary. And when we read that, the Committee to Defend the President read that, we started an investigation into all of that campaign finance paperwork that was going back and forth. And we came to the conclusion, and it is verifiable through all the paperwork, that the DNC and the Clinton campaign was laundering money through the DNC and back to the Clinton campaign. Over $84 million was laundered through the DNC when Hillary Clinton controlled the DNC and brought back into the Clinton campaign. We have filed a complaint with the FEC to rule that was a violation, which would be millions of dollars worth of fines and probably people going to jail. The FEC has not done anything about that. We then referred that to the courts in Washington, D.C., and it's been over a year. It'll be a year next month, and the courts have yet to make any determination on an $84 million, the largest campaign finance violation in the history of campaign finance. And we are never going to drop this. We're going to fight for this until the courts or the FEC make a decision on this important issue.
Senator, can you go back and tell me again, how long ago did you file this and how long have they been ignoring it?
Over a year. It'll be a year that it's been before the courts. And in the middle of April will be 1 year.
Huh. How about that? $84 million. And you're not dropping it, you say?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So to go back a moment, just because you hit so many things there, I want people to like just to be really pinpointing all these conspiracy theories that people might have thought, well, did they really steal the primary from Bernie and give it to Hillary? Donna Brazile says, heck yes, here it is in my book.
And she has the documentation to prove it. And she had the gall to go out there and write a book about it. And when we saw that, we were like, well, how can that be? That's against the law to do that. They had to have violated some campaign finance laws to be able to facilitate that. And what we found out is that they actually did. They were laundering money through individual state campaigns. It was interesting because the campaign would get $100,000, $200,000 checks to the DNC, and then the DNC said that they wrote checks to the state parties, but the state parties never received the money, the state parties never deposited the money, and the state parties never wrote a check back to the national DNC. So they were just, the DNC just put it on the books that this is what happened, though it never did happen, and it's easy to verify that. And then the money made its way back to the Hillary Clinton campaign, because the Hillary Clinton campaign could not take more than $10,000 donations to the campaign. That's the max you can give to a presidential campaign. So these big donors wanted to contribute more than 10,000, contributed 100,000 plus to the DNC, and then had it go through the states and back to the Clinton campaign. It is ridiculous that the DNC, I mean, that the FEC has not ruled on this, and it's crazy that the courts have been holding this off as long as they have as well.
You know, was it John Gotti they used to call the Teflon Don? And it seems like you get even a few degrees from the Clintons, and it's something they're involved in. It doesn't stick. Nothing sticks. Can you imagine if Trump did any of this?
Well, I mean, you look at what has happened over the last 2 years with the literal conspiracy of the Trump campaign colluding with the Russians. Every time I talk about this issue, I'm going to call it a conspiracy. And anybody who is continuing to push this line is a conspiracy nut. Because that's what they always throw at Republicans, at conservatives, that we're a bunch of conspiracy nuts. I'm sorry, but the entire MSNBC, everybody at CNN, everybody in Congress on the Democrat side are a bunch of conspiracy nuts, because they have been pushing this lie for the last 2 years, when in reality, all of the evidence, and it's not just stuff that people are talking about, it's actual documented paperwork saying that the Hillary Clinton campaign, Fusion GPS, was working with Russian agents to come up with a dossier to allow the FBI and the CIA and the NSA to be able to spy on American citizens working for a national presidential campaign. That's where the real scandal is.
That, and also this campaign finance thing, I'm glad you're following it, because let's face it, journalists aren't anymore. There aren't enough in the newsroom, and the ones who are there, they don't want to follow it. We're going to come back and talk more with you, Ted, right after this here on America Trends. Talking to Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President of some of the political headlines of the day. You can go there to support him. And Ted, let's just recap before we move on. This whole Donna Brazile thing, she wrote a book outlining everything the Clintons, or the DNC really, on behalf of the Clintons, sort of did to Bernie, shoving him out. You know, there are a lot of people that say Bernie could be president right now if they had only allowed him to have that nomination. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Bernie could definitely have been the Democrat nominee had they not pushed him out. I don't think there's any way Bernie would have won the presidency. I don't think there's any way Bernie could win the presidency in 2020. The United States is not a socialist country. As Donald Trump has often said, we will never be a socialist country. And Bernie Sanders is right now an avowed socialist. And I think that the flyover country where I live in Colorado and in the rest of the center of the state, the United States, will never vote for somebody as far left as Bernie Sanders is. But without a doubt, what happened during the Democrat primary 2 years ago, two plus years ago, was a concerted effort by everybody, from Donna Brazile included, and Wasserman Schultz and the Clinton campaign and everybody else in the entire Democrat apparatus, with all of their superdelegates that the Democrat Party utilizes in their nomination process, was going to do everything they could to make sure that Hillary Clinton never lost that primary, and make sure that she was the first female president of the United States. And Bernie Sanders was run over by that truck, that fraudulent truck. And I would be furious if I were him. But if you remember, He quickly, immediately mm-hmm. after losing that primary, came out and endorsed Hillary Clinton. And I think it infuriated a number of his supporters across the country. And I don't think they've forgotten about it.
Toed the line. We have some contributors on here who really think Bernie will be the Democratic candidate because he has installments all over the country. He already has all this infrastructure. But going back to that election, that race, you mentioned quickly about Donna Brazile feeding questions. Was she, just to go back, wasn't she a contributor for CNN at the time, and she gave the
yes.
CNN moderators the questions ahead of
yes.
time, so Hillary knew them ahead of time. That was the whole deal. Yeah?
Yeah, she knew what the questions were going to be because she was an employee of CNN, and she gave the questions to the Clinton campaign. The Clinton campaign knew every question that was going to come. They gave her plenty of time to prepare for those questions. If you remember that debate, that was probably one of the most classic debates. That's when Trump said you would be in jail if he were president of the United States. And I would hope that someday that premonition may come to pass.
So, Ted, just real quickly, if people are you've got this campaign finance thing, just mention it one more time so people know in case they're just joining us.
$84 million campaign finance violation of the Hillary Clinton campaign utilizing the DNC to launder money through the DNC, through the state parties and back to the Hillary Clinton campaign during the primary and during the general election.
And you're not going to let this go. So what I want to tell people is if you're mad as hell and don't want to take it anymore, how can they support you, Ted? Go to your website and hit the support button.
You bet. Go to our website, committeetodefendthepresident.com. Right there, hit the donation page and contribute to our PAC. Follow us on Facebook at Committee to Defend the President, or go to Twitter at defend_Trump.
So there are things like these. It's just this little review of the Bernie Sanders thing and the DNC running roughshod over him and him saying, okay, I'll toe the line. And Politico has an article asking, will the Democrats face a Tea Party-style reckoning? Could that happen? What do you think?
Well, I think they'll get a Tea Party reckoning from the Tea Party, not from the Democrat base. I think that the Democrat base is not where the Democrat leadership is. The Democrat base is more moderate. The Democrat base is hardworking, blue-collar, patriotic union folks. They're not a bunch of radical leftists that is currently running the Democrat Party. From Nancy Pelosi, who wouldn't go against anti-Semitism being espoused by one of her freshman congressmen, to not going against Cortez, who is an avowed socialist as well. That's not where the base of the Democrat Party is. The base of the Democrat Party is, hardworking, patriotic, God-fearing, gun-toting, patriotic Americans. And that's not where the Democrat leadership party is right now. You look at all of the six candidates that are running that are in the United States Senate. They've all supported single payer for Medicaid for all. They've all supported the Green New Deal. They've all come out against defending the wall, defending our borders. That's not where the mainstream of the American people are. And I think you're going to see not a Tea Party revolution of the Democrat Party. You're going to see a walkaway movement of the Democrat Party.
And this is worth noting, too. There are your six people there. This is worth noting, too. Charlie Kirk noted over the weekend on Twitter, House Republicans have made 19 requests to bring a bill to the floor that would stop infanticide and protect babies born alive after an abortion. Democrats have blocked the bill every single time. How could anyone vote for this kind of evil? And you say, Ted, that you don't think that the constituency will back socialism. But is there a part of you that fears people will rise up, perhaps young people who don't quite understand the ramifications of socialism, and at the end someone runs out of money, mommy and daddy run out of money, or that there could be some kind of hoodwinking of the election system? Maybe I've seen Scandal too much in too many movies, but does any of that worry you?
Well, I am worried about where our education system has failed our young people across the United States, would not understand the history of what socialism has wrought to the world and the millions of people who have died at the hands of avowed communist socialist regimes. If they did, then they would never be promoting and espousing these kind of candidates. But again, you know, if you're young and not a bleeding heart liberal, you have no heart. And if you're old and not a conservative, you have no brains. So I give hope to the fact that as they mature, as they become involved in the workforce, that their opinions of socialism will start to change.
I just hope people become critical thinkers and really educate themselves before they cast a vote. Know what you're doing. Senator Ted, is President Trump responsible? There were two mosque shootings last week in New Zealand where 50 people died, I believe, and about 20 are still hospitalized seriously. People are blaming President Trump. I don't even think he was in New Zealand that day.
He wasn't. You know, the Democrats are going to do everything they can to change the narrative. Yes, there was a horrific shooting in New Zealand, and God bless them. You know, we pray for the victims. We pray for their families. We pray for the entire nation. It's a horrible thing. Evil happens. But if you look at what happened last month in the Philippines, there was a Catholic church that was bombed, and the same number of Catholics were killed in those bombings in the Philippines. But you didn't see the media do this all-out media press and why is that? I would say the reason why they didn't do that is because they knew going into this weekend, the media would be talking about nothing else other than the fact that Lisa Page came out and said that the Obama administration stopped the FBI from moving forward on a Clinton prosecution, giving away her classified emails to our enemies. And there were a lot of other testimonies that were released to the American people last week. And the Democrats and the media did everything they could to change the topic.
Go figure. All right, Senator Ted, our time is short. I can't believe it's over already, but we really appreciate you coming on, and we will support you at the Committee to Defend the President.com. We'll see you next time, my friend. We spent the daylight trying to make it.
A central defendant in the scheme, William Singer, will plead guilty today to charges of racketeering conspiracy, money laundering conspiracy, conspiracy to defraud the United States, and obstruction of justice. Singer allegedly ran a college counseling service and something called the Key Worldwide Foundation. Between roughly 2011 and 2018, wealthy parents paid Singer about $25 million in total to guarantee their children's admission to elite schools, including Yale, Georgetown, Stanford, the University of Southern California, the University of Texas, UCLA, and Wake Forest. Beyond enriching himself, Singer used that money to bribe college officials, Division I coaches, college exam administrators, all to secure admission for the children of his clients, not on their merits, but through fraud.
The biggest lesson of all, perhaps, in all this, after some 50 people were arrested last week, targeted in six states by 300 agents in the early morning hours, beating on their doors, arresting them for allegedly taking part in a countrywide cheating scandal, some of the nation's top universities, Lori Loughlin, Felicity Huffman, this must be some other famous dude. Oh, that's the guy. That's Mr. Singer. Rick Singer. Is that Rick Singer of Newport Beach? He's the alleged mastermind, and he's singing like a bird, telling authorities, here's what we did, and here's how, and here's why. We are joined tonight by Kristen Sinana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network about just what this does teach our kids. What are we thinking? And, you know, Kristen, welcome back to America Trends.
Thank you. I think that was Lori Loughlin's husband, actually,
it
Massimo.
Was, yeah, I think Singer looks a little different. He's a little bit older. yeah, but Lori Loughlin's husband's some designer. Boy, they have it rough. They have it rough. And the update is, I think both those girls are quitting. The Loughlin kids are quitting their schools, and they've already lost. The one has lost her deal with Sephora. Lori Loughlin, the mother's lost her deal with the Hallmark Channel. Kristen, first we'll talk about what are we teaching our kids. But you and I have talked before about helicopter parenting. The way things are, they weren't quite that way when you and I were children. We were told to go play by the creek and come back when the sun went down.
Right.
So what's going on here?
It's this obsession with celebrity culture. It's this obsession with status. It's an obsession with, you know, what the Joneses are doing. It's fascinating to take it all the way to that level. You know, it's not enough to where we're being the coach of a soccer team and screaming at our kids and making deals with coaches to get them into Little League. Now it's going all the way up to when they're over 18 and they're going to college. And the interesting thing is this has been going on forever. This is not new. It's just that it's blown up now. People are paying attention to it now. That's what I find fascinating.
Oh, sure. People were saying, oh, go figure, the rich paid to have their kids in. But some of the processes are interesting. Using the coaches to get your kids in by saying she's a tennis champ, he's a champion pole vaulter, and actually altering pictures. There's an allegation that one media mogul from Southern California, I've talked about her before, no need to talk about her again, but that they put her kid's head on a pole vaulter in a picture and used that. It just goes on and on. And like we said, Rick Singer of Newport Beach, the alleged mastermind, that's Newport Beach, California, and Orange, fancy schmancy Orange County, is behind all this. And here's how we did it. And the feds say this is the tip of the iceberg. So I bet a lot of people are very fearful right now. There's Mr. Singer. And also, Kristen, the IRS is involved in this because some people use their charitable causes to sort of, I don't know, use, they are paying it toward this. But somehow the IRS is involved and they're monitoring everything. This is a big deal. They're going to be in big, big trouble. But what does it say? You said, you know, how do we come to this? But I guess another good question, Kristen, is what would we do if we could get away with it to help our kids? And that's a question we all have to sort of like rally in our own minds before we say, hey, look what they did.
You know, I think we have to look at, is that really helping our kids?
Sure.
There's such pressure to succeed, and the definition of success has taken on this completely unhealthy and unrealistic meaning. That's not what success is. If you ask anyone who's actually successful, they failed 1,000 times on their way to success. These kids are not being allowed to fail. If your child can't get into USC because they didn't study, well, you know what? Maybe that failure that you let them have is what will motivate them to go out and do better the next time, study, start their own business, whatever it is. But it's like, you know, parents want to shortcut that, hence the helicopter parenting. And then your kids don't learn anything. You're enabling them and you're just handicapping them immediately, cutting them off at the knees from growing and evolving as a human being.
Okay, wait, can we just repeat that for a second? So you're saying that if we don't help our kids and do everything for them, they just might learn a lesson and get their own sea legs and do it themselves and be successful?
My goodness, exactly. What's that saying? Teach a man to fish. I'm going to butcher it, but you know that saying. I mean,
let's try to figure this out. That's a good man. Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish. And
he's fed for his life.
Right.
Exactly.
That's good. That's a very good analogy.
That's what it is with our kids. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these parents that were involved in this actually worked hard to get where they are today. So why is it that they don't want their kids to do the same thing?
Gosh, you're so right, Kristen. We hear over and over again. Well, you've heard people. I don't want my kids to go through what I did, and so I'm going to. But that, I think we've kind of boomeranged from that now because we're realizing they're not going to be able to do anything.
Right. They're going to be completely crippled. And, you know, when you hear one of the daughters, you know, that has the YouTube channel and had the Sephora contract, you know, she's openly saying often that she doesn't want to go to school. She doesn't want to go to school. And yet this is her parents' dream. So it's also that are your children there for you to live through as a parent, or are they their own individual human beings that maybe we should listen to what it is they want to do, even if we don't agree with it? Let them fail. Let them fall flat on their face. Let them figure out those life lessons, and don't live through your kids' accomplishments. Oh, have your own.
Tell me about little Olivia Jade's her name. And that's another lesson, the stuff you put on social media. I mean, you might want to put your best self forward, right? Because here she is saying, I just want to go party. And then that is not a good look in the midst of this scandal. Just makes everyone go, oh, losing, if they would have had any pity anyway, right?
Right. Yeah, there were no actual pictures of her sweating to death, rowing in crew at 6 a.m. every morning for months and months. You know, that was not there. It was more partying on a yacht, doing, you know, Sephora commercials. So it's a weird culture right now. But like I said, this has been going on forever. What's interesting around the psychology of this is, why does society care so much about it now that we're making it a big deal? That's actually a good sign in my book.
It is a good sign, because there's also this thing where the longer you get away with something, the easier it is, and it becomes the norm. And now all of a sudden it's stopped. And people are saying, oh, how could they? But they're winking, saying, color me shocked. So I guess it's you just want to sort of ask, though. I think we're going to hold you over and ask you, how did we sort of come to this? It'd be interesting to try to target a specific year when parenting got to be over-parenting, and why did that all happen? So, Kristen, give us your website so people can look you up, and we're going to have you come back, but just want to mention Kristen Sunana Walker, CEO and host of Mental Health News Radio Network, tons of podcasters, tons of podcasts, and we can go there and stream anytime, right, Kristen?
Absolutely, 24/7.
Downloaded in over 170 countries. We're going to be right back to talk more about this college cheating scandal and how we got to this. And can we do better, or are we just going to keep doing what's easiest? Back after this.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Back with Kristen Sunana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network, talking about that huge college cheating admission scandal. And, you know, Kristen, I sort of hate to be one of those breathless TV talking heads. It's like, oh, this, that, and the other. But it just goes to show you. On this show, we love to talk about processes and why we Americans do what we do. And it's just sort of the crux of a larger thing that's happening, where we do not the right thing, but what we can get away with.
Right. Right, exactly. And I think one of your esteemed guests, Dr. John Huber, a forensic psychologist, he's the statistician here, but he's talked a lot about how, you know, with the advent of the smartphone is when we started seeing this more narcissistically focused society. And I think a lot of it is because it's just so easy. It's easy to Photoshop pictures. That used to be something that magazines could only do. They had the software, they had, you know, the ability to do these things. And now anyone can do this with a phone, they can do it with their computer. So it's, and then we have social media on top of it with the pressure to look like we have this perfect life. So that easy access to get it done makes it a lot easier to actually do it.
Kristen, remember back in the day, you mean that celebrity's airbrushed that much? Remember?
Right.
We just didn't know.
Exactly.
And now
exactly.
We can do it anytime on Instagram. So fun. But so, yeah, because we were talking before the break, I wanted to ask you, when did it turn from, I love to go back in time, because I think back 20s, 30s, like my grandmother, she had 7 kids. Just go outside, when come back. I hope all 7 of you turn up, but I'm just not sure you will. And then, you know, when we were raised, like I said, go down by the creek, play, the lights go out, or when the street lights go off, come back in. Now, the helicopter parent, you can't do anything, because, well, then we've got all this social media and the Dayline telling us all our kids are going to be kidnapped and all these things. But when did we really hit our stride with, like, when did helicopter parenting even become a term or a thing?
You know, I think it became a term for just my generation, which is Generation X. I'm a Gen Xer. So I think that with our kids, and our kids are the ones that, you know, were born with a smartphone, or at least they got into it, you know, in their teens. That's when this really started to come about, this focus on putting our kids in 800 activities. They can't just go outside, get dirty, eat a worm, and be a kid and not die, you know. So that's about when we started this need to push like we do. And we're seeing really the negative impact of it.
Do you remember when a couple decades ago, people started writing these really long Christmas card letters with their Christmas cards, and they would outline every great thing their kid did? And,
yes.
And now we do it every day on social media, don't we?
Absolutely. We do it every day. That's why I post things that are purposefully, you know, not so hot, not doing so hot today, or kind of a joke about some foible I made, because I want to put in there, it's okay to be real. It's okay to make mistakes. That is how you become a successful person, making these mistakes. It is not life. This experience called being human is not airbrushed. It's difficult. Let's be real about it.
For sure. That's why I'm so glad we have the Mental Health News Radio Network, Kristen. And, you know, we can't compare our lives with someone else's highlights that are on Facebook that are completely airbrushed. You're so right about that. I'm just reading again, talking about this cheating scandal. Lori Loughlin, unfortunately. And again, she's one of the two Hollywood actresses named, so she gets all the attention. I'm not going to feel that sorry for her, though. But there's a headline out today that there's video that showed up, Kristen, of Lori Loughlin joking of spending all this money on Olivia Jade's education in this old video. And it goes on and on. But we have to do better. You know, the scheme involving wealthy people going to highly unethical, illegal lengths to get their kids admitted to top schools, it's a larger parenting issue. College is now doing their own investigations. Parents right. should really ask, do kids... You know, what do you want to do? Not everyone has to. It used to be we want our kids to do better than us. Well, you're going to be the first generation going to college. And now people are saying sort of, you know, you can go to a trade school. There are a lot of people needed to. Right. There, I saw someone make a joke. I'm going to get paid $60,000 a year to go turn off your phone. I'll be up on the pole turning off your phone when you can't pay your bills because you're paying off your $300,000 education that you can't get it for which you can't right. find a job.
Society is very different today. It's extremely varied. And the old school belief, it certainly was when I was a child, I come from this large family of academics that I'm the only one that didn't go to college. And there were a lot of reasons around that, a lot of trauma. And also I had undiagnosed ADHD. So there was no way I was going to sit through a classroom. And yet, you know, look at what I've been able to do with my career. Doesn't mean I don't value education and absolutely appreciate all the educated people that come on my show. But I can still go toe-to-toe with them. Through my business experience that I've had, you know, in the trenches. So there's many different ways to look at what success is and how we define success. We tend to do it by comparing ourselves mm-hmm. to other people and thinking, oh, they've got it better than we do, instead of realizing the only person you need to compare yourself to is yourself.
You're such a great example of a success story, Kristen. But I will say, just to wrap up, it is human nature to want to help other people, especially our kids. I mean, right. let's be real. Let's be brutally honest. So how do we know? Are there any red flags that we should sort of say, try to walk yourself back from? Any tips you can give?
Yes. Read everything you can. Google the term enabling.
Okay.
Fall under that term. Enabling is hurting your child. I had a therapist say to me once, every time you enable your child or your ex-husband, I want you to picture yourself cutting them with a knife. That's how bad you're hurting them. Wow. That's what we do to our kids. Look it up, Google it, read about enabling, and don't do it.
You're going to make me want to segue into codependence, Kristen. You got to stop. You know, I love talking with you about these. So say that again, whether it's a friend, a spouse, or a kid, enable...
Yes, you're cutting them off at the knees, and you picture yourself cutting them with a knife. Oh. That is how hard you're hurting them by enabling them.
Oh, wow. You just that gives me pause, Kristen. Hey, it's so great of you to come break these. These are tough issues because it's just humanity, right? And again, you know,
yes.
we're judging these people with all this money, but they're just trying to help their kids. So I don't know. What would we do? We'd hope we do the right thing. And tell us how we can find your podcast, Kristen, and what's trending right now that you're talking about.
Well, trending right now is exactly what we talked about today.
Well, then America Trends, there it is. We hit it.
Exactly.
Nailed
right.
it today, Kristen.
That's right. Anyone can go to mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com and see any one of our 50 amazing podcasters and listen to their shows.
We look forward to it because there's so much good stuff there. If you're ever scouring the internet and trying to look for the next good thing and you run out of Facebook wall space, go to Kristen's page. Kristen, we'll see you next time. Up next, what Conan O'Brien says about the cheating scandal. All tied up, no more love.
Find the best spot. Are you serious right now? Hey, come down. Come down.
Some of the best viral pet videos of the month from our friends at the Pet Collective, our friends on U2 America TV Network just saw. Hey, we want to remind you, you can find us 24/7 at our website, u2america.com, or on the BizTalk radio site. And click on through and find us on social media as well. We can all be friends and talk. And here you see some of our past podcasts on BizTalk radio. And then, oh yes, go to Facebook and like us there. And let's all keep up to date with one another. Could we? Some of our other programming, Russ and Sully on The Big Biz Show. A lot of fun. Ivana Cadaver, Paula Deen. Thank you to our guest tonight, Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President, talking about the political headlines of the day. And there's his website. Kristen Sunata Walker also talking about that college admissions cheating scandal and how we've come to this, and did helicopter parenting morph into that, and all kinds of things, trying to sort it out. Why do we humans do what we do is what we always ask. Finally tonight, about that cheating scandal, Conan O'Brien had some funnies revolving around that, and he interviews a student he feels definitely bribed his way into college.
The FBI indicted more than 40 people, including well-known actors and CEOs, for committing fraud to get their kids into elite universities. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it involved things like bribing teachers to take their kids' SAT exams and receiving athletic scholarships, even if their kids didn't play sports. Even if their kids didn't play sports at all and weren't the least bit athletic, these people were rigging things so it looked like their kids were athletes.
Yeah.
I was blown away by this, and I've been thinking about it all day, and we've all been talking about it, and I wanted to find out more. So here's what I did. I invited a USC student here to chat about it. Please welcome USC basketball starting center David Holloway. Let's get him out here.
Hi,
David. So it says here you play center for USC. You're the center for the basketball team.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It says here you're 7 feet 2 inches and you weigh 310 pounds.
7 foot three? I grew a little freshman year.
Okay. There's no way you weigh 310 pounds.
Well, not on this planet, but on Jupiter, easily that much.
Okay, listen. I'm sorry, but you were clearly way too small to play Division I college basketball. So I'm going to guess, Mr. Holloway, you come from a wealthy family?
Father says never to discuss money. All he cares about is watching me play basketball in Holloway Arena.
Holloway Arena?
Yeah, it's the brand new arena Father built. It's on Holloway Avenue.
Okay, I think we get where you're coming from. Let's speak to another athlete, all right? Here to speak on this matter is also a USC freshman. I'm told she's an African-American gymnastics star. Please welcome Alana Richardson. Let's bring her out here.
Actually, that's me also.
Okay, for God's sake. Alana Richardson, everybody.